Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 147 for June 1st, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes...
There's some friendly rivalry amongst the Australian whiskey community.
That's Andrew Durbridge of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's Australian chapter, which is bringing back an old tradition later this month. The Australian Malt Whiskey Tasting Championship will be held June 21st in Sydney. Details later. First, let's look at the news. Blended grain whiskies are the forgotten relatives of the whiskey family, with one notable exception. Compass Box's Hedonism is the reigning winner among grain whiskies in Whiskey Magazine's World Whiskey Awards, and John Glazer is releasing a new version of Hedonism this month. While most grain whiskies go straight to the blenders as soon as they're 3 years old and can legally be called whiskey, John has picked casks from four different age ranges all the way up to 30 years old for the 2008 release. And while I'm talking about John Glazer, this isn't until September now, but I want to give you plenty of time to buy the tickets and make your travel plans. John will be teaching a rare one-of-a-kind masterclass on how to make your own personal blended whiskey at the Astor Center in New York City on September 18th. He'll walk you through the process that night, and you'll leave with a bottle of your own bespoke blend. Again, it's September 18th in New York City at the Astor Center. Tickets are $75 each, and space is very limited. There's a link for more details at the WhiskeyCast website. An update now on episode 140, which featured a tour of the Maker's Mark Distillery and Visitor's Center. There's only one thing they didn't have at the distillery until now. There wasn't any place to get a bite to eat. The nearest restaurant is about 15 miles away. They've opened the Tollgate Cafe at the distillery on the site of an old toll house at the Berks Spring Farm. As you might expect, there's a lot of bourbon influencing the menu. And other news from Kentucky. Several months ago, I reported Heaven Hill's plans to expand its Bernheim distillery in Louisville. The project is now complete, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held on Monday. The project expanded Bernheim's production capacity by 40%. Sports fans are familiar with the home court advantage, and occasionally it works in the legal world as well. After years of lawsuits, India's Supreme Court has ruled that Kodai India does not have to rename its Peter Scott Whiskey. The Scotch Whiskey Association has been fighting that battle since 1987, arguing that having Scott in the brand name implied that the whiskey was produced or had a link to Scotland. The court rejected that argument, which lower courts had agreed with. As I've reported here before, the SWA is fierce about fighting any use of Scott, Scotch, or any other Scottish regional designations on whiskey produced outside Scotland. It's won similar cases against two other Indian whiskey makers in recent years. However, it is not clear whether the Supreme Court's ruling opens the door for other Indian distillers to start using Scottish terms on their labels. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. John Hansel of Malt Advocate hosts a single malt tasting and dinner at the Farmhouse Restaurant in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, June 6th. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival's sampler preview is the 7th in Frankfurt. Toronto's Companions of the Quaich chapter holds a Glenrothes tasting with Charles McLean on the 9th. The Whiskey Guild holds its second annual Whiskey Classic on the 19th in Morristown, New Jersey, and the Worshipful Company of Distillers Spirits Tasting is also on the 19th in London. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla at Laphroaig.com. It's the 1st of June, and here in Haddonfield, the flowers are blooming, the hammock is out, and it's the start of summer. However, in Australia and the rest of the Southern Hemisphere, winter is just beginning, and whiskey weather is in the forecast. On June 21st, some of Australia's most serious whiskey lovers will gather in Sydney for the revival of the Australian Malt Whiskey Tasting Championship. It's being sponsored by the Australian chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, and I talked with Andrew Durbridge about it this week.
Well, look, there's a bit of history behind it. It was an event that started in Adelaide, and for international listeners, Adelaide is one of the cities in the south of Australia. Australia's a big country, as you can appreciate. It started in 1989 under the guise of the Australian Malt Whiskey Tasting Championship, and was run out of just a hotel, or a pub, as we like to call them here. And it was a blind tasting competition. And it ran from 1989 up to 2002, although it was in recess for 4 years in the late 90s there. And so the last competition was run in 2002, and just the guys that used to run it sold the pub and got out of the game, and it just fell by the wayside. And the Scotch Malt Whisky Society, which is active here in Australia, of which I'm one of the directors, thought it would be good to resurrect the event. So we're kicking it up again. And we're really concentrating on making it a national event. So it's being run out of Sydney, which is, of course, not our capital city, but our biggest city. And we're holding it at the Opera House, which is a landmark many people would be familiar with. And looking forward to it. It'll be a fantastic event.
How many people do you have scheduled to compete?
Well, it's a list that's still growing. The event is not for another month or so. We've got about 30 people signed up at the moment, on our way to hopefully 50 or 60.
And how will the contest run?
Well, it's a blind tasting competition featuring commercially available whiskies. These are whiskies, OBs if you like, official bottlings that any punter can pick up at their local bottle shop or off licence. And people will be seated at tables and they will have 8 whiskies poured before them. Labelled A, B, C, D, E, etc. And then they're going to be provided with a list of 10 possibles. So on that list of 10 will be 8 of the whiskies before them, plus 2 red herrings. And competitors will have half an hour to go through each of the whiskies and put down on a piece of paper their best guess, or educated guess, or wild guess, as to what one they think it is. So, you know, you might put whiskey A equals Talisker 10-year-old, whiskey B equals Glenfiddich, etc., etc. And at the end of that 30 minutes, pens down, and whoever gets the most number right is declared the winner. Now, we're obviously anticipating that there might be a few that might get 6 out of 8 or 7 out of 8 or even 8 out of 8, and we'll have some taste-offs to then separate any tied scores.
What's the prize?
First prize is a big one. It's a trip for two to Tasmania. Again, a bit of geography. Tasmania is one of the southernmost states in Australia. It's actually separate to the mainland. And Tasmania is home to several of Australia's whiskey distilleries. And the Lark Distillery runs an event called the Whiskey Experience, where people go away for 4 days up in the Tasmanian Highlands. And they actually go through the entire whiskey making procedure. So they cut the peat up in the Tasmanian Highlands, come down, brew the mash, distill the spirit, basically make new make spirit and stick it into barrels. And the Lark Distillery have come on board as one of the sponsors, and they've offered that as part of the prize. And that's, I guess, one of the main elements of that trip to Tasmania. So a trip for two to down to Tasmania, the 4-day whiskey experience, and then visits to several of the other whiskey distilleries, and accommodation, airfares, car hire, all thrown in, all for the value of about $5,000.
That's a pretty good prize.
That's a pretty good prize. That's first place. And then for second prize, we have a bottle of Glenfarclas 1980, which has been donated by the distributors for Glenfarclas here in Australia. And then third prize, free tickets to a couple of the Scotch Malt Whisky Society's tasting events around the country.
Sounds like a fun day.
It will be a fun day. And it's not just the competition itself, and I have to emphasise this. At the conclusion of the competition, there's going to be what I suppose is best described as a cocktail party. At the Opera House, within the area of the Opera House is one of Sydney's topmost restaurants, Guillaume at Belong, it's called. In Europe and I believe in the US now, restaurants or the better restaurants get denoted by being awarded a Michelin star. We don't have that ranking system in Australia, but what we do have is a series of, I guess, chef's hats are awarded or what they're known as. And Guillaume is one of the restaurants that actually has received three chef's hats, so it really is one of the top restaurants. At the conclusion of the competition, there's going to be a cocktail party with canapés prepared by Guillaume and Franz Schurer, who would be known to some people. Franz is one of the leading people in Australia, and I truly believe in the world at matching whiskey to food. I think anyone can prepare a dish and then just choose a whiskey to go with it. But what Franz actually does is chooses the whiskey and then actually goes away and prepares food that is specifically matched to that malt. Franz is a genius at that, and I've been fortunate enough to go to many dinners where he's been at the helm. So Franz will be working with Guillaume to come up with a wonderful food and whiskey menu. This part of the evening has been generously sponsored by Glenmorangie. So there'll be some of the malts from Glenmorangie on board and the food. So all up with the competition and the cocktail party right on Sydney Harbour at the Opera House really will be a truly fantastic event.
Now, you're going to kick Craig Daniels out of this for being a pro, right?
Craig has a bit of pedigree in this, of course. He won it back in the 90s, and I believe he came second and third a couple of times. Actually, it might interest you to know that Michael Jackson, the late Michael Jackson, came out and competed at the Australian Malt Whisky Tasting Championship in 1993. So we've had a few people come by to have a crack at this. Michael, as I recall, didn't make it into the top five, but he had a good excuse at the time, of course, because he was probably drinking some pretty more interesting whiskies than what may have been served up at that particular time. But at any event, Craig is a very, very serious competitor. I know he's practicing as we speak, no doubt, and I'm sure he'll probably be the one to beat, I suspect. But anyway, that's what's good about it. There's some friendly rivalry amongst the Australian whiskey community, and Craig will be the one to watch.
So he comes in as the favorite, right?
That's right. Yes, exactly.
And I need to explain, Craig is a fellow member of the Malt Maniacs and the chairman of the Malt Whiskey Society of Australia. If you're interested, there is still time to enter, assuming you can get to Sydney on short notice. I'll have the results here on WhiskeyCast after the competition. By the way, if you'd like to find out more about Australia's distilleries, check the archives for episode 96 from last June with Bill Lark of Lark Distillery and episode 61 from October of 2006 for an interview with Patrick McGuire of Tasmania Distillery. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'd love to hear from you. You'll find links, the calendar of events, the WhiskeyCast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.